This is Ryan.
Yeah, this is Wayne.
And this is Kill the Robot Podcast. It's been a while. Couple weeks, I think. 2 weeks?
Yep.
Things have been going good. I realized I was working more time at work than I should. Which I didn't realize I was doing it. I was going in at... I started working at like 7 or 7:30, and then I would leave at 5:30. But I only took like 15 minutes for lunch, and it only takes me 20 minutes to get to work.
You were never good at math.
Apparently. It's like, oh my gosh, I'm working 9 hours every day and not realizing it. So I was like, well, I really want to start going to the gym again. So then I cut those hours back to leave at 4:30 to go downstairs to the gym, which it's a double-edged sword because I'm getting into the gym earlier. I'm still leaving work at 5:05, right in the middle of traffic. I think that is just life. I think if you leave at 4:30, you leave at 6 o'clock, it's marginally the same. Especially for me, because I'm like 14 miles away, and I'm right at the place where traffic starts to end. So, right. And Katie's gotten so big, I just don't see that going down. But I realized that, I cut the hours down, I've been hitting the gym consistently and running for like a week and a half, maybe 2 weeks. I'm not to the realm part yet. It's more along the lines of things got really heavy for work. I was really struggling for 2 or 3 weeks learning a new framework and new languages and new totally different things. Like, I do back-end engineering. What I was learning was front-end engineering, which is equally as hard. It's just very different. So I would be on the phone at night every night till like 10 o'clock. Not billing those hours. For me, I just felt, just keep pushing, it's personal development, and then I'll be able to do my tasks faster, because I value doing things comfortably, as opposed to, I'm only going to work my hours, and then I'm constantly in a stressful situation. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, kind of working to get ahead a little bit. So, and working with all the different engineers that I work with, and all the architecting, and all the cloud structure, and all the craziness that goes on, I got it down. I'm doing things a lot faster. Now I can do certain things in a day that it would take 2 or 3 weeks. Hmm. So it's kind of cool, because I'll get something done in a day, whereas everyone else is lagging behind by days.
Yeah, well, you know, when you think about it, the amount of time that people spend either trying to figure stuff out because they really haven't done enough investment in themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard that phrase used before, you know, what, make sure you're investing in yourself, you know, reading, keeping up in the area that you're working, stretching yourself, going the extra mile, not always, you know, counting the time that you're doing it, but as, you know, as work time or something, just,
yeah,
you know, invest in yourself, because in the end it makes your life a lot easier at work. Feel better about yourself because you know more.
Yeah. Well, and getting better at like culling things out. So like culling is a programming term to kill the excess. So like I said, I'm totally horrible at having 5 million tabs open. I've been very adamant about stopping that. Now, I will read an I will read the first 2 sentences of an article, which isn't really an article. It's most of the time a how to do something,
mm-hmm.
How to set up voice recognition, yada yada. And I'll say, okay, for the realm, this is that category. All these realm services that I'm doing, just take it, put it there, done. I'll read it later or not at all. Because I've gotten to the point in my life where I just don't have time for it. And it's not because I don't want to have time for it. I love wasting time and going down rabbit trails on stupid things that don't matter. I really love it. But I just can't afford to do that anymore. And all this came from that revelation that we talked about on the last episode, where I was talking to my manager and I said, I have to start thinking about things from your perspective. Of either it's done or it's not done. There's no gray area in between. And really being adamant and aggressive with how I'm doing things. So when I really invested and learned all that front-end engineering stuff, I came back very forceful and very much so able to get all my tasks or do more of my tasks faster than I had done before. And it really took the time that it took to learn that.
Mm-hmm.
So that was very encouraging to me. It's also encouraging to, as you get older, that you can still, you know, run with the kids.
Sure.
So for myself, that was an interesting experience. The biggest experience, I think, was realizing that I was working more than I should. And the lesson was, for me, no one's going to tell you to go home. No, no one's going to tell you. Like, when I tell them these things, like, oh, gosh, I'm working more than I should, they're like, whoa, whoa, why are you doing that? And, you know, in my mind, I'm thinking, someone will probably tell me, like, hey, slow down, take your time. You have to take your time for yourself. And so I started, okay, well, what does that mean? I went to the doctor for my physical, then everything is fine. Then I was like, okay, I'm going to start working out, running, work on diet again because I'm getting older. And I feel that other things will follow suit. And so I would concentrate on just making a habit out of one thing. Just go to the gym. Okay. It doesn't matter how long. It's 2 minutes. Doesn't matter. And then should I run? Don't worry about that. Go to the gym first. And then work on running. Then work on diet. Now I'm using an app called MyFitnessPal, which connects with MapMyRun, which I use for running. So MyFitnessPal is how you can write down everything that you've eaten during the day, and it'll do all the calorie counts and tell you, based on how much weight you want to lose and how long, it does a whole plan for you. It'll tell you, I should only have 78 grams of saturated fat every day. I should only have 2,300 calories to eat every day. What I found was I wasn't eating enough calories. I was off by 1,500.
Wow.
So, like, those kinds of things, when you really, I hate this term because it's way overused, but, like, hack your life, or, like, finding, it's not even a shortcut, it's just, like, figuring out how to determine what the best way is, even if you have to trick yourself. Like, I have an oral fixation. So when I was younger, I would smoke. I don't know why, I just liked it. Or I would buy sodas at the gas station. Every gas station I went to, I buy a soda, buy a drink, doesn't matter. So what I realized was, with that oral fixation, use something good for it. So drinking water is boring, but I was like, what about sparkling water? So now I just drink sparkling water, and you're cheating, but you're not really, because you're just tricking, you're just swapping one thing out for another, and it's good for you. So all that is to say that by cutting the hours, being aggressive with my time, taking back my time, working on a habit, but only working on one at a time because you can't get it all. And then, you know, so in the morning I would be like, okay, well, I'm not going to get anything done in the morning except my work, getting ready and making breakfast. So I would do all that and then just go to work, because you're only going to be there till 4:30. And so when you know that in your mind, sorry, I hit my microphone. When you know that in your mind, it makes it a lot easier to work. Because you see the end in sight, you know what I mean?
You know, being that we're two different generations, my experience when I was your age in the work that I was doing at the time, the company that I worked for was far more concerned about their employees. You know, how are things at home? Are you know, they're taking care of you and your family and making sure when they... you know, from a headcount perspective, if they had projects that needed to be done, or if they had some area of the company, a department, they knew the headcount numbers that they were going to need for mm-hmm. that. And today, it's changed a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you're learning that nobody's going to tell you, you know, oh, you're working too hard, or you're working too much, or, you know, it's like, everybody's boundaryless.
Mm-hmm. And, or they care about you, but it's only so that it's not a liability for them.
And if you're willing to go the extra mile and do all this other kind of stuff, they're more than happy to let you do it because nobody's, you know, watching over your shoulder to make sure that you're not burning yourself out. That's mm-hmm. something you have to do. And that's it makes it a little different arena than, like I said, what I was used to from the earlier days when I was working. I wasn't, there was somebody watching over me to make sure I wasn't, you know, burning out and doing that kind of a thing. But today you have to be your own monitor for that. And
well, and they have rules, but like I said, I think it's only from a liability standpoint. Like, it's not because they genuinely care about you. And it's not, this isn't to be like, you know, pessimistic, like life is horrible and no one likes you or thinks about you, but it's more along the lines of you really have to be not aggressive, discerning, or on purpose with taking control of your time. Mm-hmm. And realizing that, you know, this is the amount of time you have during the day. You can tell yourself, I really want to do it at this time, but if it never happens at that time, it's never going to happen at that time. That's right. Why I was going to work on the realm in the morning, but it's like, there's too many things going on, right? So you can't, you know, work on the realm, because then you're spending time not working, and then you're going to make that time up later, and you're going to lose time. So just do the realm at night, but that's not even a concern right now. I'm just trying to get the diet under control, the running and working out under control, so that I feel more mentally there and mentally, you know, I have the mental fortitude to get back involved with the realm, and doing it in baby steps. So don't do the realm for 3 hours. And no matter what I tell myself, I always envision this in my mind that, I don't know, I don't have time. It's going to be a marathon. And it's like, it doesn't, just do the 30 minutes and that's it, and go to bed and play video games or watch TV or do whatever you need to do. But you have more time than you think you do.
Yeah.
So I haven't done anything. I've thought a lot about just the product in general, or what you want to do with how you want to position yourself in the market with the realm. And it's fast becoming a realization that, aside from like a service that people would pay for on a monthly basis, it's not good. I can't charge $5,000 for the device.
Right.
And I can't sell it to a customer more than once. So it's like you're constantly trying to find more customers, and I don't know that that's the best model for making money. So at this point in my mind, like, the realm is just for myself. We'll install it here and see what happens. But it's not something, I still am a firm believer that something will come out of the technology that I could do a business with. But it's just too, it's hard. And it's really complicated, and you really have to stay up late thinking about how you would make money on something like that. And who's going to pay a monthly service for something that is overall more or less a passive service? It's not like you're not watching Netflix.
You know, just from my perspective, maybe you can identify with this. It's kind of frustrating when you realize that everything is constantly moving.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing is staying still, you know. Nobody's sitting around, well, okay, we'll wait until Ryan catches up with us, you know, Amazon or Google or whatever, for you to, you know, make a little more headway on your project.
Well, and Google releasing Google Home, which is basically Alexa for Google. Google releasing what they're called, is called a TensorFlow library, which is an artificial intelligence library. I foresee them packaging that as a service that's consumed by Google Home, meaning they can apply what I would term a realm service, but as a service that they consume from Google. So that is a concern. Alexa has its own AI, which is called, God, I forgot what it was called. It's something, or I forgot. Lizzie, or it's some stupid name, but it's their AI service. So, you know, it needs to be more firmly based in, not that I'm first, or not that I'm the most advanced, but that I built it for with my own two hands from top to bottom. That is what has to be the thing that is awesome, and that I can do things with it that Amazon would need a team of engineers to redo, because their market is different. Their market is so broad, you're going to leave out a lot of people, number one, and you're going to generalize a lot of things that can go way deeper, number two. For myself, who's my customer? Me. I can get as crazy and deep and insane as I want to. I can make it so tailor-made for my house and my preferences that it's just incredible, but I think I need to reestablish what the vision is, and the vision really is starting to become, yeah, but I built it myself. It's like a hobby, right? Like you build a car's motor from top to bottom, you learn a lot of things. So maybe something will come out as a business, but the more and more I'm in this market, especially in a hardware, your margins are so razor thin for hardware companies. And so if, I'm not going to make money on the hardware, so then where am I making money? Like on the service for software, for things that are basically Google Now that's free, no one's going to pay for that. So determining, is my market more corporate, but kind of reining things back in and saying, okay, I mean, these guys are coming up with the same ideas that I am, right? And let's be honest, they've had these ideas for a lot longer than I have. They're just coming to the public eye now. The thing that you have to think about when you're ready to go to market that I wasn't spending time thinking about previously was, if you go to market, what are the logistics of actually implementing something like this? Like, there's a lot of overhead just to implement it into one home. All the things aren't automated and perfectly synced up together, right? To sync objects to the Z-Wave network, it's not a turnkey solution. It's very much so the Wild West. So, automatically reaching out and grabbing devices and pulling them in the network, it's not something that it's currently doing. I'm trying to get there. I have a pinging mode. Like, for instance, if one of the devices falls off the network or you turn the power off, the Z-Wave network, because it's registered as those five devices, if it only sees four, it will just be like, what's going on? I can't function. It's very strange. So I haven't navigated those problems yet, but just thinking about how do you put them in the home? How do you manage troubleshooting? How do you manage bugs? How do you, and then at the end of the day, the thing that I keep harping on is, unless someone's writing you a check for $50,000, which even over the course of 10 years is not that much money, what are you really gaining aside from just giving yourself a bunch of headaches? So taking the things that you're learning from the development of the Realm home automation system and developing those small services, Slack, Facebook's not a good example, Slack, Messenger, small, teeny services that look teeny, but they're huge on scale. That's how they make money. So you do something simple and you do that one thing very well. So gone are the day of these huge, massive Leviathan computer systems that takes 20 engineers to figure out. But it's kind of going that way. So yeah, I could build something that could be a service that other people could consume. The other thing is like business to business. There's opportunities there. It's just something that I need to flesh out more. But the more that I was thinking about, yeah, I could put it in a home, you start putting pen to paper and you realize there's a lot of cost and there's a lot of things that you're not thinking about. Because Joe Blow down the street may love it, but Sandy Sue next door hates it because it doesn't do these specific things, then it's broken, and then all your time is spent troubleshooting. And it kind of sucks all your time. Not to be pessimistic, I'm just saying, don't put the cart before the horse. So the main goal for me is concentrate on my audience, like my minimum viable audience, like I had said in previous episodes. I'm fast realizing the minimum viable audience is myself. Which is great because I'm a great person to you're serving yourself, but it goes along with what your passion is. Like your passion is writing. Would you write the book that you're writing if you were the only one that read it? I don't know. I think the answer is yes, and it sounds narcissistic. And not everything has to be a business. I think that's a huge misconception that we have a lot of the times with all these entrepreneurs that we have out there that, oh yeah, that's a really good business. And it's like, okay, well, time out. Maybe it doesn't have to be a business, you know? And businesses, I mean, let's be honest, most of the time it's something really simple that is kind of boring. And once you kind of perfect it and you go to market and the only thing you do is that one thing every day, all day long, that may be a little boring. And maybe that's how you can make a lot of money. I mean, I would make more money on real estate than building a product. And you can be an idiot, and still, with a little bit of money and a little bit of investment know-how, you can make money. But is that really what you want to do? Does that really feed your passion? Would I build the realm for myself? Yeah, I effectively am.
I was having a little bit of trouble trying to figure out how to write and interweave narrative and dialogue, and how to say things so that they just kind of flowed. Because I seem to be doing one or the other. I would just maybe a paragraph of narrative, and then another one, or I'd be doing just dialogue, and then trying to make it so that people knew who was talking when and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just very stilted. It was not. It didn't flow. It didn't feel real. And then I thought, okay, so just spend more time reading some books, some well-written books that do that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very interesting. It was very interesting because what you find that you're doing is that for the first time, you're actually reading looking for things.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like the same thing when you're looking for a specific car because you're going to buy it, or you just bought a car, like you bought your Corvette. And now you notice Corvettes all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But you didn't so much before.
Yeah, that's true.
And so that's what was happening to me as I was reading some of these well-written stories, and I was thinking, wow, okay, I noticed how they said things and how they interweave in the dialogue, and they weren't really saying that much about the person, but I captured what I thought was, I bet this is the look on that person's face as they're saying this.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what they're seeing. That was well-written, but it looks so simple, but it's not.
Yes.
And so, like I said, I'm inching along trying to figure out, okay, so how do I work on my writing so that it really flows much more freely and easily and is interesting to read and not cumbersome?
Yeah.
Okay? But I had to realize that the people who write well make it look really easy, just like anybody who's exercising their gift, whether it's in music or engineering or whatever it is, they make it look so easy. But it's not.
No, it's not. And a lot of the ease, things that seem the easiest for most people, you should probably pay attention because it's probably way harder than you think.
Mm-hmm. And so, in some cases, apples aren't apples. I mean, if you're gifted in a certain way that allows you to see things from very naturally from a different perspective,
mm-hmm.
somebody's not going to be able to duplicate that.
Well, and for myself, like, dealing with all this front-end stuff, which in the beginning I poo-pooed it because I was like, that's not real programming. Yeah, that's way hard. It's way hard in the paradigm shift that you have to go through. It's way hard in not only are you dealing with front-end code, but you're dealing with back-end of the front-end code. So, like, when you click something, it goes back and does something. Everything is done in parallel, which means asynchronously, which means instead of following 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 fire at the same time. Or whenever you click them, and then they have a callback that comes back. So I click it, it goes back, says I clicked you, then it goes, does something, then you return that. Then what do you do with these other four? It's just a lot to take in.
Mm-hmm.
But then I've learned it, I acquired more skills, now I'm starting to enjoy it, so now I'm writing in like TypeScript, JavaScript, Python, C#, like all the languages. And it's fun because you have more tools in your tool belt. And so, you know, rising to the challenge and really pushing through something till you have a breakthrough. Like I said before, I think I switch between two things whenever something gets hard. I switch to the other thing. Whereas it's like, that's such a bad habit because 9 times out of 10, you just need to keep hammering on it until you get it.
Mm-hmm.
And once you get it, it makes it easier the next time you have to hammer on something. And so now I've been trying to work on, you know, make it bite-sized so that you give yourself a win, right? Don't try to eat the elephant in one bite. You're never going to be able to, no matter how good you are.
Right.
But as you get older and as you get more experienced, especially in engineering, you get much better at defining the problem. Like, one of these, I heard this from a TV show, but it's from someone. They say it was from an MIT professor, so we'll go with that. He says, the better you learn to define the problem, the more easily and quickly the solution will present itself, right? So
mm-hmm.
the gist of it is, define the problem, the solution will present itself. So it's just along the lines of, do you understand the problem that you can define it instead of, well, I need to, the home automation, there's a lot of problems in there. But you have to really know that you know that you know the problem before you can even begin embarking on what the solution is going to be.
That's really good. I remember a course I took in seminary. We were learning to study the Bible. And this was really a good tool. I don't care what you're studying. But one of the things that the teacher did was we took several verses from a particular portion of the Bible, and he said, I want you to make 10 observations about these verses. Okay. And what you discover is that we all too quickly jump to application. But he said, no, 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 don't do that. Don't do that. Stick with this. And then after we got the 10 observations, he had us do 10 more. Just very basic about what we were looking at. And this kind of falls in line with what you're saying when you're defining a problem. It's really easy to say, oh, I think I've seen that problem before. I know what the answer is to it. Well, wait a minute. Let's back up a second. Are you sure that this is a duplicate of the problem that you're referring to? Or maybe there's some other nuances to this problem that maybe you don't understand it completely. Maybe you need to take a little bit more time and think it through so that you come to the appropriate application or solution to that. And we struggle with that, particularly if you've been around for a long time. Like I said, the temptation is to say, oh, I've seen that before. Really? Maybe not.
Oh, it's even harder with other, like, I'll send emails to certain people that I've worked with in the past that I'll say, what do you think? I'm having this problem. And with some people, I know what they're going to respond with. They're going to respond with a knee-jerk reaction that proves to me that they did not read my email, they do not understand the problem, and I think a lot of the times dealing with other people, like, you know, you're having a conversation with people, and then they're waiting to say something, and then they're, oh, yeah, I've seen that before. It's like, hold on. I didn't finish. Like, I know that you've seen this before. That's very great. But I'm trying to tell you a story. And, you know, I feel like there's a lot of people out there that they're so concerned with, you know, okay, I'm done. Like, I see a lot of this on engineering teams. Like, what's my task? Okay, it's done. It's your turn. It's not my, I wash my hands of it. And it's like, there's such this, in certain teams, not every team, but there's attitudes of, like, there's no collaboration. It's like, this was my task, I did it, I gave it to you, it is done, nothing else is required of me. And it's like, oh my gosh, I mean, you would have so much more fun, and you would learn so many more things, you know, on that collaboration and really getting into the problems together. But just learning not to short-circuit people and, oh yeah, I've seen that before. It's like, hold on, it's not as simple as you think. That's why coming into the project that I'm on, I've learned, and this is just from experience of getting slapped down, don't ever assume the thing is simple. You come in and say, this is dumb, I've seen this before, it's so simple, let me solve it, I'll fix it, here you go. And you realize you didn't define the problem, you have no idea, you're not even in the ballpark. So I've learned to be like, okay, I'm going to look at something, my knee-jerk reaction is to say that this is really dumb, why would you do this? But maybe you don't have all the facts. So talk to the appropriate people. Ask the dumb questions so that people can say, oh, sometimes it's, we did that because we didn't have any other option. Okay, then we can change it. Or we did that because, aha, we went down that path and it ended in a disaster. Crisis averted. You know what I mean? So you only, I think you only learn that as you go through life.
Well, and something the same teacher that I was referring to, asked him one time, was it, how do you read books? And the question was really headed towards, well, how much time do you spend actually thinking about what you read? And he said, generally, it's like 60-40. It's 60% of the time I'm actually reading, but then 40% of it's probably just thinking about what I'm reading. Because he would read a certain amount and then think about it. We're not talking about a fiction novel here. But I thought about that in terms of just how much time do we spend thinking, whether it's, you know, on the front end of solving a problem or at the beginning of the day when you're trying to figure out what's the best use of my time today. Like you were saying, you realize you were working too many hours. Well, some people can go on for years doing the same thing with never, without ever analyzing, you know, how they're using their time. And you don't have, you can't, you have to do that frequently.
Yeah.
In some cases, maybe for, especially if something you're embarking on is new, it may be daily that you have to sit and think, a little bit on the front end or at the back end of the day and analyze your time, how you spent it. And
I have to do it in to-do. I have a to-do. I use Todoist, mm-hmm. which is awesome. They're so awesome. Google bought them, as they do with everyone. And I have to-do that I swipe off every day. And it seems dumb, but if I don't do it, I'm not, take your pill, do this, make the shake that you drink. And now I've added things at night, like daily goals, spend 30 minutes doing Realm. Maybe you'll hit it, maybe you won't, but it's a goal you're shooting for. You're going to constantly try to do better. But
you know, the other thing that happens when you're doing something like that is you're aware how, if you're not getting to it, what you have chosen to do or had to do, mm-hmm. rather than in place of that.
Mm-hmm.
You're aware of how you're using your time. There was another system that I heard of one time. Somebody said, okay, so for the next, and I can't remember if it was 3 days or a week or whatever, they said, make a log, and for every 15 minutes,
mm-hmm.
write down what you're doing with your time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very eye-opening,
mm-hmm.
as far as how you're using your time.
You have a lot more time than you think.
Yeah, and you do waste a lot more time. And things take a lot longer than you thought they would.
Mm-hmm.
And so when it comes down to something that I suck at royally, and that's estimating things,
mm-hmm.
That's an area where I could really use some growing, because in my job I'm still being asked, well, how long do you think this is going to take? Or, whatever.
I know.
And
something you've never done before, how long will it take? Probably an amount of time that I've never known before.
But as you look at things, to know that you either, how long something's going to take, or to be able to say accurately,
mm-hmm.
I have no clue.
Yes.
Is really helpful, because then you at least got a better handle on perspective of your time.
Yeah.
So I've needed to grow in that area for sure.
Well, I mean, I guess for next week, I'm going to keep trying to, I'm focusing on my goals. So I got the running and the workout down. Still working on the diet. Night eating is still hard. But just understanding, log it, write it down, be aware of it. It's a process, right? You're never going to be done. And, hitting those goals or working on the realm to really kind of just prime the pump again to realize that minimum viable audience of myself.
And one thing along with that's interesting to me, as far as working out, I heard somebody say one time, it's probably more important that you do something consistently
mm-hmm.
than that you knock yourself dead on mm-hmm. a Saturday morning, for 3 hours in the gym.
Case in point, I have a 3.5-mile trek, but I'm concentrating on running the whole time. Don't do the 3.5 miles. You're going to walk 80% of it and just waste time. You're going to burn calories, but go walk at the mall. So I'm just running this 1.5 mile and try to get, just run a little, walk a little, run a little, walk a little. And my goal is to run the whole thing, because by running, I'm burning more calories. And just setting those goals and being realistic and conscientious of how
sure.
long it's taking.
That's good.
So I think that's what I'll, next week I'll keep hitting my daily goals. The work is going great. Really try to, now that all that passion is going into work and learning that new thing, kind of like channeling it back into the realm. Seems like you always run to put out the fire, right? You never really. You have this beautiful project that you're working on that no one's bothering you on. It's not on fire, but you always run to put the fire out
mm-hmm.
instead of ignoring the thing. Oh, man, I bought this house. It keeps starting on fire. And it's like, you have a condo that's beautiful by the beach. Why are you not there? No, but it's going to get better, just learning to split your time appropriately. And don't give all your gems to the
yeah.
piece of trash. So,
that's good. Well, for myself, I was just thinking, you were talking about the beach. There was a time in my life when I was, I'd step outside the house and I'd see the weather's really nice and I'm thinking, oh, this would be a great day to go to the beach or whatever. Knowing full well that I really had some things that I needed to do that
mm-hmm.
would not involve being outside. And so one of the things I've had to learn is just to bear down and stay with things and work hard at things. Not for long periods of time on one day a week, but consistently, like
mm-hmm.
you're saying, daily on something. That's a real challenge for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see this is where, I haven't made the kinds of progress on some of the goals I've had is that lack of consistency
yeah.
and it was killing me. So that's not a small goal in itself, just no. being consistent.
Well, and a lot of it is perspective. So, like, for instance, I would tell my wife all the amazing things that The Realm does. It is astounding, right? I'm my own audience, right? So it's just so incredible how awesome, amazing it is. That's great. But these are ideas. Ideas in and of themselves intrinsically are absolutely worthless. So what I do now is I don't tell her about anything. I show her. When something is done, that is a language that she understands. Even as dumb as turning on the light. Ah, I get it. I understand. You're reaching out and touching that device with code. Don't explain it to the whole... They don't care. It doesn't matter. Like, it's very interesting to you. Like, the surgeon isn't going to go over how amazing the anatomy is. You don't care. Just don't cut the arteries and kill me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That in, it's not saying it's not a discount of it's not discounting how hard things are, right? I hear that a lot from programmers, including myself. It's just really hard. It's just very hard. It's more difficult than we first thought. That's fine. Like I said, black and white. Is it done or is it not done? That's the only thing. These cannot exist in limbo. Mm-hmm. It is not done. Therefore, what must we do? What must we readjust to get it done, and realizing that it's finite, there is an end. Like when I build the level, when I build release one is done. I don't have to build it again. Mm-hmm. So now with her, my challenge has been, to your point of the daily stuff, I don't tell her about anything. I just build the release and I show her.
That's good.
So she's taught me that. Like it's all about action. Like, I would always get pissed at her because I would explain these things that I have. And she's like, okay, great. Yeah, but what's the application, right? You know, I don't know, it's superconductivity theory. Yeah, but what's the application? Who have you sent it to? Nobody. Then it doesn't matter. You had an idea. It's amazing. You're so smart. But if your minimum viable audience is yourself and always will be yourself, like, don't bring other people into your crazy world. You can just keep entertaining yourself.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you need that. I need that, you know, one of the things that's high on my priority list for the app is to build in suggestions and bugs that she can report when she's using it, even as dumb and simple as it is, that she'll come up with as she's using it. And those are the things that matter. My things that I point out pale in comparison, because that's a real user.
Very good.
So I'll work on that. You're going to work on being more consistent. I'm going to work on being more consistent, trying to be on the horse more than off. That's my goal.
Yeah, and even if it's like a snail's pace at times, just doing it consistently daily, even at a snail's pace, don't see it as unproductive.
Well, it's life.
Yep.
There's no other option.
Yep.
And that's the thing to realize that's difficult at times is, oh man, I failed again. It's like, yeah, but I mean, it's life, dude. I mean, you're going to succeed or fail. There's no in between on that either, right?
Just every day's new and you get another chance. So, okie doke.
All right. Well, that's it for this week. We'll see you next week.
See ya.